So would you stand as we get into John this morning and study and talk about, again, about the Holy Spirit from John 15, verses 26 through 16, verses 15.
You can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. And as you listen, intentionally reflect on what the author meant when he penned these words almost 2,000 years ago. Now the same message can apply to us here this morning at Veritas. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Father, we want to come before you this morning to thank you, to praise you for the word that you've given us to bring us into your truth, and Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will come and teach us about you, Father, that we may know you, that we may seek your face, that we may understand Jesus, and that we may understand the Holy Spirit, whom we are going to be speaking about, and ask that your Holy Spirit would teach us many things about yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I have a seat? Well, today we're continuing unpacking the role, sort of the role and the mission of the Holy Spirit. It seems that our view of the Holy Spirit in our culture maybe is just reduced to speaking in tongues or some kind of maybe a supernatural experience. But the Holy Spirit is a lot more than these things. The Holy Spirit wasn't given to us by Jesus to simply give us just a high or an experience, but something much deeper, something even cosmic, beyond this world. There's something going on with the Holy Spirit, and we've seen how the Holy Spirit has interacted with the Father and the Son, Jesus, and last week we talked about the three roles that the Spirit holds in the earlier chapter. He gives us the power to abide in Christ. He advocates for us, and finally we saw that he shows us our place as adopted children. Remember the three A's. I'm sure none of you forgot, because I worked hard at making sure there were A's. This is all from Jesus' teaching to his disciples just before he was about to be crucified. And we got to kind of step back and remember that this is in the context. He's kind of giving his last words, his last teaching, this long, long speech, which could have taken him a couple hours to unpack, to talk to his disciples about, just before he was about to be crucified and resurrected. He taught his disciples these things mainly to give them hope, to give them courage, an understanding of who God is. It's kind of like the game's about to be over, and he wants to make sure he's giving his disciples as much hope and as much courage because they're going to need it. And you know, he's also doing this for us, to give us hope and give us courage. So this is for us too. So I hope that you leave here today encouraged and feeling filled with a worshipful heart towards God and the Holy Spirit at work in your life. But we see three things today from our passage of three more roles, three other roles, kind of similar to last week, but how the Holy Spirit is at work here. First, we see the Spirit witnesses to Jesus, very similar to abiding, causing us to abide in Jesus. Secondly, the Spirit convicts us and the world. Thirdly, the Spirit guides us into all truth. Let's unpack those three things as we see in the text. The first one, and really the biggest thing, the biggest role we see is Jesus repeats that the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to Jesus Christ. The Spirit has many roles. There's a lot that he's doing, but over and over again, Jesus makes it clear that the Holy Spirit's desire and his mission is to show off Jesus, is to show Jesus off. Like, that is his main desire. His main desire isn't just for you to speak in tongues or for you to heal people. He's concerned with those kinds of things, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12, but his main concern is for you to get Jesus, for you to understand who he is. And last week, we talked about how the Holy Spirit helps us to abide in Christ, and now Jesus teaches us in verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. See, we want the Spirit to make us feel good or do some miracle in our life. But the truth is that those are really results of the Holy Spirit bringing us to Jesus, to really bring us alongside of Jesus. And one of my life verses, the verse that pushed me to plant this church, the verse that we preach on almost every year during our anniversary, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5, where Paul says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, Paul is echoing the same idea here, that the Spirit brings us to Christ. That is, a demonstration of the Spirit's work is proclamation of Jesus Christ, is the lifting up of Jesus Christ. A demonstration of the Spirit is the proclamation of Jesus Christ to the world. Now, I want to show you this in a few quick ways, but you're going to actually have to think. You're going to have to think here and process some things. This is not going to be just sit back and relax kind of sermon. So we're going to get a little geeky with things. Some of you are excited about that. We're going to look at some of the original language that comes out. I'm going to have to get my notes closer because this is my study time. But we have to look at some of the original language to see this truth come alive. We see the word helper is used for the Holy Spirit. And the ESV has used that. Some of you may have a different translation. And of course, I'm not smart enough to disagree with the ESV on this translation, but I'm going to. I barely survived Greek class in seminary, but I think a better word would be advocate. We talked about this last week. A better word here for the Holy Spirit is advocate, because it's more than just helping, although the helping is a part of it. He's advocating. This is like a legal term, much more of a legal term, meaning that the Holy Spirit advocates for us to the Father through Jesus. I told you you'd have to think a little bit. He advocates for us to the Father through Jesus. And the Holy Spirit also advocates for God to the world. So he's advocating for us to understand the Father through Jesus, and he's also advocating for us to speak the gospel, proclaim Jesus to the world. So he's kind of like an attorney in court, speaking on your behalf. So the Spirit is the one bringing us to Jesus and Jesus to the world. His work, his mission is to bring worship to Jesus. This is what the advocate does. This is how the advocate rolls, where he is advocating for us. He's advocating for the world. He is advocating for God. He is like the divine middleman in a lot of ways. The second thing, this is very subtle, but very powerful. John, in his writing, we can go back through the entire book of John, the Gospel of John, he uses a different word for miracle than any other gospel writers. We don't really see the word miracle. If you go back, and what do you see the word instead? Instead of miracle, you see what? Signs. You see signs. It's a different word than miracle, than a lot of the other writers use. This is significant. If we go back through all of John's gospel, we'll see that everything Jesus was doing was by the power of the Holy Spirit, who was posting signs to the Father. That's why in chapter 14, verse 11, Jesus says, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves." So we say, we can sing praises to your works. Yes, sort of, because those works are pointing to the Father, the giving glory to the Father. And that's what he's saying over and over again, that these were all signs. They were like signposts being put everywhere, saying, look to the Father, look to the Father. Glorify him, and the Holy Spirit is the one posting these signs through Jesus. It's kind of an amazing thing here that the works are signs that point to Jesus. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has been at work in Jesus, and over and over and over again, we see that Jesus is pointing to the Father. We're seeing God fully at work all the time in this, so that what we see is that Jesus is really hammering home that the Holy Spirit, his most significant role is to bear witness to Jesus. And John was really trying to make this clear. Really trying to make this clear with all of his language, all of the way he worded things, and then he takes Jesus and shows that Jesus was passionate about this. Jesus was living in light of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus was walking with him. So John, he doesn't do this subtly in his writings, or he does this subtly, and Jesus' teaching is riddled with this truth that the Spirit's main function is to give glory to Jesus. The second thing we see is that the Spirit convicts. The Spirit convicts. We see in here that he convicts in three areas: our sin, righteousness, and judgment. So let's break down these three things. First, sin. The first thing that Jesus points out is the Spirit convicts our sin. Verse 9 in chapter 16. Now, some people don't want to talk about their sin, or maybe they want to deny that people sin, while others dwell upon their sin so much that they forget that they're forgiven. And Pastor Joe set us up really well to understand that we have to have a right view of our sin, and the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit gives us a right view of our sin. Sin at its core, we know, is unbelief. Unbelief in Jesus. So it's sort of going off the first point in a lot of ways, where we're taking Jesus off the throne, and that's what the Holy Spirit is most passionate about. So that's what he's going to convict the world of. You are taking Jesus out of his place. It's not believing that Jesus can fulfill us, so we turn to pornography. It's not believing that Jesus provides for us, so we obsess over money and over power. It's not believing that Jesus loves us, so we turn to slandering others and self-hatred. And we must see that our soul is riddled with unbelief. And it's the Spirit's role to bring those to the surface, to bring those things to the surface, those sins to the surface, giving you the power to give them to Jesus. To trust Jesus has dealt with it on the cross. So all that sin that kind of bubbles up, that's the Holy Spirit bringing it to the surface. And you sometimes hate that process, don't you? You just hate it when God is revealing all kinds of sin in your life or things that are going on in your heart, this unbelief. You can't stand that. And so what the Holy Spirit does is he actually brings it to the surface, and then he helps you. He pushes it. That's where that helper kind of comes in. He advocates for you. So he takes all that stuff and pushes it on to Jesus. And this is also true for those of you who don't know Jesus at all, for those of you who aren't Christian, who have no interest in Christianity, or maybe are interested in Christianity but don't really quite get what Christianity is all about, the Spirit opens your eyes for your need for Jesus. He shows you why you need forgiven, and he shows you how Jesus deals with it, how to be forgiven. I can still remember when I heard the gospel for the first time. I was going into my senior year, I think, of high school, and I grew up a good Catholic, confirmed in the Catholic Church, and all that. I was the altar boy and did all that. So I knew that I shouldn't get drunk or have sex or break the law, but mainly because I knew I'd just get in trouble. My parents would be upset with me, or society would look down on those things. But when I heard the gospel for the first time, something I've probably heard a lot in my life, but when I really heard it the first time, the Holy Spirit sort of opened up a valve so that a lot of my sin started coming up, and I started seeing the things in my life, seeing my heart, seeing my unbelief in a very new way. It was kind of like the Holy Spirit turned on this floodlight in my heart, and all the sin in my life was just exposed, all the things, not just the things that are bad, you know, in culture, but the things, the unbelief, the things that made me say, you know, I do need a Savior. I do need saved. I hate that language. I hated all that kind of talk and the Jesus, Christianity, the subculture, all of that kind of stuff are things that I struggled with. But when the floodlight opened and came on me, all of that stuff bubbled to the surface, and I knew that I needed a Savior. I knew I needed saved, and that was the Holy Spirit convicting me of sin. The second thing the Spirit convicts us of is righteousness. The way that is written is very confusing. Verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Kind of, it's really hard to understand what is really going on here. It's very confusing, a strange statement that Jesus is making, but what he's saying is that the Spirit is making us right. Right. He's putting us in a place where our identity is in Christ, and it is so strong that we can go to the Father, that we can approach the throne. Again, very similar to what Pastor Joe was saying earlier. Not fake righteousness like some California surfer that was a righteous man. Nothing like that. This is like a making us right, making everything right and true and pure. The Holy Spirit does this over and over again in a believer's life throughout his entire life, reminding us, bringing us back to the place where we know our identity and that we can approach the Father boldly, that we can come to him boldly, showing us the things that keep you from going straight to the Father and empowering you to take the righteousness of Christ on. You see, the Holy Spirit is madly at work here when he's taking all this sin and showing it to you and taking it to the Father. And now he's saying you can go to the Father just as Jesus is going to the Father. Just like that, I'm going to pay a visit to my Father. I'm going to live with my Father. We can have that kind of language in our lives because the Holy Spirit's at work in our lives. So the Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness, and finally we see judgment. Verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And what Jesus is saying here is that the Holy Spirit Holy Spirit will remind you that Jesus on the cross and resurrected means that he will defeat the ruler of this world. He's so close to his death, and he's telling his disciples, he's saying, look, I am going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to defeat the ruler of this world, the ruler of this way, of this age. I am going to win. And they're going to need this comfort. When they see Jesus, we know, remember back in chapter 14, when he reminds, he says, don't worry. Don't you worry. Let your hearts not be troubled. Don't worry. Where I'm going is a great place, and you're going to soon come and be with me. The disciples were extremely worried that their Savior, that they'd spent 3 years with, was about to die, about to leave them. They're starting to get some things through their head that he is going to be gone, and they need him. They've come to depend on Jesus for everything, and he's reminding them and saying, look, the ruler of this world is going to be defeated. This is one step closer to you coming and being with me. Instead of Jesus just telling all the facts, saying, hey, I won, period, just relax, he's giving us the Holy Spirit to remind us over and over again that we worship a Savior who has won. I know for me, I need this reminder constantly. When I feel just like the world is caving in around me or things are going on all around me and I'm so frustrated when people are cracking jokes at Christianity, when we stare in the face of the evils of people being sold for sex, when we feel betrayed, we feel hopeless, the Holy Spirit screams out that Jesus' death and his resurrection means the ruler of this age is defeated. Rejoice, he's saying. Rejoice, I have judged the ruler of this world. I am over him, and I win. So the Spirit reminds them that Jesus' death seems like defeat, Jesus is winning because he has made a way for us to be with him, to be with the Father. So the Spirit witnesses. Spirit witnesses to Jesus. The Spirit convicts. And finally, we see the Spirit guides. Spirit guides. Many years ago, I read a memoir. It was a memoir of sorts called The Beautiful Side of Evil. It's a woman who has this spiritual guide named Jesus, a spiritual guide who guides her throughout her life and gives her these special powers to perform these very, very insane acts. It's taking place in a third world, South America, where this Jesus, her guide, shows her how to actually do spinal surgery with a butter knife. This is in the memoir. It apparently happened. But Jesus was her spiritual guide in this, which is a strange thing. Well, maybe on a more believable note for you skeptics, the Holy Spirit is like a spiritual guide to many people in this world as well, alongside of Gandhi, Krishna, Buddha. A lot of people have the Holy Spirit as kind of thrown in there. So Jesus, the Holy Spirit, sort of in our culture, it's okay to have them as a spiritual guide. I mean, after all, Jesus is a sort of a big hippie who wanted peace all the time, and he's a great guide. Wore sandals, all the whole deal. So like he's part in. So they want our culture really wants Jesus as part of the spiritual guide. But we have used the Holy Spirit, Christianity as some. We can't use the Holy Spirit as some sort of guru, some sort of guide that gives us power to deal with this life. Even though it's cool these days, but Jesus says, verse 13. Listen to the language here. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said to you that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't let you get away with just taking Jesus, the name, or Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, into another spiritual guide that ranks with opposing religions. The Spirit's role is to be of truth, to give you Jesus. You open up a phone book, and you see John Smith. There's a lot of John Smiths. You got to find the right one, right? He's saying you can't just call anything Jesus or Holy Spirit. He's saying the real Holy Spirit, the real Holy Spirit guides you into the truth. The Spirit doesn't do anything that opposes Jesus, but glorifies him. In chapter 14, verse 17, just a few chapters before, we see John calling the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. And here again, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, John is making it very clear that the Holy Spirit is not something you can just pass over or something that you can put alongside all the other spiritual type of people. But he's saying this is the Spirit of truth. He's being very, very provocative in using this kind of language. He's not a palm reader or something of the sorts, but he leads you to know God, and know his will. He does this in a couple ways. First, the Word. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's Word, the Bible. We say this book is God-breathed, inspired, and illuminated by the Holy Spirit. We say that because we see that it is the Spirit who illuminates these things, who has helped write these things. It's only by the help of the Holy Spirit that we can understand rightly and understand what God is showing us and his people in this book. And the Bible has to be our final authority, interpreted rightly by the Holy Spirit. It's the thing that we can trust in as believers. If we don't have this book, if we don't have the Bible, then we don't have an anchor to hold us together. We open the phone book and see Jesus listed a million times, and we don't know who to call. This book holds it all together. The Holy Spirit uses these words to teach us, to grow us, to mature us. And that's why we depend on reading the Scriptures all the time and asking the Holy Spirit illuminate the Scriptures to us. And some of you might say, well, what if there is nothing in the Bible about a specific a question I have? I have lots of questions. The Bible doesn't say anything about Facebook or those kinds of things that I know of. But that is another role for the Holy Spirit to come in. There's nothing in the Bible telling you what major to pick when you go to college, but you can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into the right decision. He gave you reasoning to think, a community to process the decision with, and the Holy Spirit to confirm or reject this decision. The Holy Spirit works in those kinds of things. So if you want to be a communications major, he might say, you're not going to make any money, you're not going to be able to provide for your family, you're not going to be able to pay off your student loans, so let's think of something else. That was a joke to you communications majors. But the Holy Spirit helps guide us. And we look to the Holy Spirit to help guide us in so many issues that are so controversial, things in the Scripture that people can't agree on. We come and say, Holy Spirit, teach us these things. We want to come in humility, not pretending like we've mastered the Bible and therefore we know God's will, but we need the Holy Spirit to work in this. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to grow us, to help us make right decisions. We need to trust Him that He is at work in those things. And there's so much more we could go and get into, even in these few points, but as our text reminds us, that Jesus has much more to teach us. He has much more to teach us. The bottom line is this. It's a good thing we have the Holy Spirit. Jesus was trying to show His disciples, it is a good thing that I'm going to leave. It is a very good thing that I'm leaving, because when I leave, I'm going to send to you this one that I have described. For us, this is a great thing. This is a great thing for us to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who gives us the power to abide in Jesus. The Holy Spirit who advocates for us in our weakness, who doesn't just leave us as orphans, but shows us that we are adopted in Jesus, who bears witness to Jesus, who convicts us of our sin, and who guides us into all the truth. The Holy Spirit is at work in a person of the third person of the Trinity that we ought to give much glory to, and we ought to give much praise to, for He is at work in our lives as believers. He is at work, hopefully, in your life as a non-believer, convicting you of your sin, bringing you to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is so underrated by both charismatic camps and the frozen chosen camps. But Jesus knew that we needed God with us. That's how we started this, the last two sermons, remember? That it was the disciples' desire. It was their intense desire to have God with us. And Jesus is now saying, for us, we now have God with us. He's always reminding us that our identity is in Jesus and that we are adopted by the Father. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we praise You. We want to give You thanks that You draw us into worship, that You give us affections, that You give us desires, that you intercede for us when we don't have these affections and these desires, that You fill our hearts, that You give us new life. Holy Spirit, we praise You that You are at work in our lives. God, we ask that the Holy Spirit would convict those who don't know You, would draw those who don't know You to Yourself. We beg, Holy Spirit, that You would fill us, give us a deep excitement, a deep joy, knowing that You speak on our behalf, that You draw us to Jesus, that you are at work in our hearts, that You convict us, that You move in our lives, that You give us a life, and that You give us knowledge. We worship You. We pray all these things by Your power, and in Your Son, Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It is a great joy for us to be able to worship. And the Holy Spirit gives us that. And so we want to come and we want to ask the Holy Spirit to continue the worship as we partake in communion and as we sing songs to Him. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, we're going to see this in a couple weeks when He was betrayed, or we saw Him, He was betrayed, He's going to be crucified and His body will be broken. But in the brokenness, He says, take My body and know that this brokenness is for you. The same way, He took the cup and He said, this is the cup of a new covenant. It's by the shedding of My blood that your salvation is sealed. Eat this bread and drink from this cup in remembrance of who Jesus is. This is an act of the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, reminding us of who Jesus is. And so we want to give thanks to Him who is at work. If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to take Christ and not take communion, because communion is one of those things that It's you declaring that you are a Christian, that you are in Christ. And so I'd encourage you to hang back or ask a friend, tell a friend, say, I want to become a Christian. I want to ask Christ into my life. I want to actually start being a disciple of His and growing in the Holy Spirit and walking in this new life. Come talk to me. We've got a team of people over here who would love to talk with you. Talk to a friend who brought you, but don't wait and don't hesitate and listen to the Spirit moving you in your life to make this decision. Our tradition here also is to give financially. We have baskets in the front and in the back, and we want to encourage you to use this as an act of worship. If you're not a Christian, you don't have to give. If you are a Christian, the Bible says you do have to give. And so you don't have to give here or whatever, but give. Give your money away and be faithful at that and make that an act of worship. Would you stand as we have our communion and our offering reading? Loving God, you have given us a share in the one bread and the one cup and made us one with Jesus. We thank you for your loving grace. Amen. With joy, we bring our offering. All that we give, we dedicate to your glory, and all that we keep, we commit to your care. All that we have is yours. Amen. Our tradition here is to break off a piece of the bread and dip it into the juice, proclaiming Christ's death for you. And I want to encourage you again, if you aren't a Christian, to take Christ.